Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, good morning. Just like that, we're 11 days in. It's Thursday. Keith McPherson on the Fan till 2 a.m. We're complaining about the Yankees, but we should stop. We should turn the page and look for positives and open the floor up to conversation around the New York Knicks, the New York Rangers, New York Islanders, whatever you guys really want to do. A loss is a loss. They're going to lose games. We can talk about the Mets as well as they head into an early game against the Atlanta Braves today. So 877-337-6666. A couple things I wanted to add. You know, with Judge, I think they said this is his worst start of his career as far as his batting average, his on-base percentage, how he's doing. But he's working a ton of walks. I was just talking to Marco Belletti about it, and I'm like, all right, yeah, I guess that is a positive. I think they flashed a stat that he was leading Major League Baseball in walks. Now, that might have changed after tonight. I just think his timing is off. And I go back to spring training when he was spring beat up, and he did not have his full spring training. He missed a chunk of spring training. It's Aaron Judge. He's going to put the work in. He's going to figure it out. But it's good to see guys like Alex Verdugo really get going in this series. Verdugo having a on-base four times on-base 2 nights ago or 3 nights ago now. How many? I don't know what day it is. Hitting a homer 2 nights ago and, you know, really getting the whole dog thing going. Carlos Rodon with a good outing. Nestor Cortez with his best outing of the season. They won the series. They won another series. It's okay. It's all right. They're 10-3. They're in first place. They're going to go face the first place 9-3 Cleveland Guardians, and we'll assess what they look like on the road. 877-337-6666. We will get to the Knicks. We will get to the Islanders. Let's take a couple Yankee calls before we do that. Jake is in Newark. Jake, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm a big fan. I'm good. I just want to hear your take on what's Jose Trevino doing in the offensive side of the ball.
He's struggling. That one that he hit to the warning track today. Oh boy, I needed that for him because with Austin Wells here, and with him being shut down last year with the bum wrist, and him kind of platooning with Wells. Not even I think Wells is showing up more than him. He's got to get it going at the plate. He's got to be a lot better. I don't know what it is. He's batting 056. Like, let me look at his numbers. Has he gotten a hit yet? He's got one hit. In 18 at-bats, one hit, one RBI. He's batting 056. His on-base percentage. Trevi, my guy, I'm rooting for you, bro. You're a good guy. You're one of us. Yankee fan today, tomorrow, forever. You got to figure it out. And we know you could do it. We've seen you do it. The year that you were an all-star, you did it. Just 2 years ago. It's got to get back because we can't rely on Austin Wells in his rookie year to power this team from behind the plate. I know it's there. I know he's going to be that guy that can probably hit 20 homers a year. But, yeah, Trevi's got to be better. He can't be an absolute zero in the batter's box. 877-337-6666. Last Yankee call before we get to other Yankee calls, but I am trying to get some of the Knicks fans and Islanders fans and Rangers fans and Mets fans in. Kevin is in Baldwin, New Jersey on the Fan. Go for it, Kevin, go.
Hey, man, thank you, bro, man. Listen, a quick statement or two. Shout out to your wife for letting you run around like a young guy having fun, and bless her. And the Knicks, the Yankees, man, I feel good about the team vibe. And finally, yo, order me one of those 4X red sweatshirt hoodies when they come out. Bro, much love. Cool breeze. Rock on.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. Yeah, I got to start making some merch. I get so many comments and replies. But, yo, give me that shirt. Yo, give me that hoodie. Yo, make some shirts. Ball Vinny is working on a Beware of Dog shirt. He did hit me on Twitter. I kind of added them as people were like, yo, make some shirts. I'm like, it's either Ball Vinny or Rotaware making my shirts. And Rotaware already made the Bronx Dog shirt that I was wearing. Shout out to Kenny from Rotaware as well. We might cook up something, but Ball Vinny's working on it. And yeah, I'm like, I need a e-commerce site. I need a spot where I can just throw a link up and people can go to, you know, Shopify or whatever and get some merch. But I feel good about the team too, Kevin. That's why as we turn the page to Thursday, the Yankees being off getaway travel day, I said, we got to stop. We complained about everything from Volpe leading off, which is perfectly fine. I say leave him now. It's going to be a talking point if we go back to Glaber leading off, which Glaber is not the leadoff hitter. You got to leave Volpe there now. It's also going to be a talking point if Volpe's not looking like the all-star he was, you know, the first 10 games being in the second half of the lineup. And that's all I was saying before about that. Don't mess up something like that. Like, don't get cute, right? Some of you guys start dating a girl, things are going good, then you start getting cute. You start telling her about your Pokemon collection. She's like, whoa, hey, I didn't know you had all these Pokemon cards. You start doing too much. Just stick with what got you there. Stick with what got you there. All right, let's talk about the Knicks. Mickey is in Lyndhurst. Mickey, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Alvin shared your Beware of Dog video at Mickey's on the Instagram. We had a great time watching it.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you got, like, Mickey's. I haven't heard the ad or the Kafina, you know, read, but, like, you guys are always showing love online. The wings that you guys have brought here. I just had a Kafina tonight on the mango ones. Like, I just appreciate the love. And Alvin is such a cool dude. I appreciate you guys, so. Thanks for showing my video over at the bar.
You did a great job. Thank you. The ad's great, but we want to talk Knicks basketball, and it's just been a great year no matter what happens. I'm watching exciting basketball. They're down 11. They come back and beat the Bucks, and I just need them to sign Hartenstein. They can't let him go. Everybody's talking about big names. We need to re-sign him.
Oh, I think that guy's not going anywhere. I think he's a part of the chemistry with this team. I saw a little bit of the podcast that he did, the Roommates podcast with Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson. I think that he's going to be around. He kind of made his name here. He kind of became here. I don't think you got to worry about losing him. I think they could afford to keep him. But, yeah, when I watch the Knicks, I feel the same way about, like, man, I thought they were going to lose to the Bucks. They lost to the Bulls. They lost to the Spurs. They lost to I forget who else in the last couple weeks. I'm usually betting on them. And, yeah, there's just something about Jalen Brunson and his team, how they fight. Even that game against the Kings, when the Kings came out shooting the lights out, I was sure they were going to lose that game on the day that we found out Randle was done for the year. Nah, these guys have a championship pedigree from Jay Wright and Villanova, and they know that they can make some noise this year. They could possibly be the 2 seed. I think they're still going to be the 3 seed. But I think Knicks fans are really going to enjoy this run that they have. Jalen Brunson is not going to get any MVP conversation or any MVP nods, but he's the MVP of that team. And they have enough pieces that they can definitely battle with anybody. I wish the Celtics weren't going to be so soft and you know, play all their guys tonight. But go to the TD Garden, play hard and beat them, show their fans something, and maybe that'll be foreshadowing what's to come.
Keith, we need drinks at Toyota Terrace at the next Yankee game, buddy.
Yeah, just message me the same way you guys tag me on Instagram, or I think Alvin might have my number. Just let me know what games you guys are going to, and if it lines up with me, I'll pull up and meet you guys. I do my best to try and link with people in the stadium. So Toyota Terrace, drinks, we can definitely do that. I know I'll be at the Friday night game, the 19th of the Rays series. I might even go Saturday to try and get that Judge bobblehead. And I'll also be at the Wednesday Oakland A's game on the 24th. So the 19th, 20th, 24th, I'm definitely in there.
Oh, Wednesday, I'll make it happen. Keith, thank you for everything.
Awesome, Mickey. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call. 877-337-6666. Yeah, shout out to Mickey's Bar, Pub, Bar and Grill out there in Lyndhurst. You know, like, people just show me love. Some Jersey guys that are Yankees fans, sports fans, that heard my show. Last season, they brought me a bunch of wings and drinks. I remember Craig was in here knocking down all of those caffeine waters. We cleared those again, and, you know, people are just, like, really good to me, man. People are just over the top, like, nice and generous, and I appreciate it. It all comes just from hosting shows and doing social media stuff and being out there, and, you know, I try to give it back. Like, the same energy you guys give me, I try to give back to you. So thanks for that. Let's keep it rolling. 877-337-6666. As the Yankees are on the Yes Network, down 4-0. If you didn't watch it on Amazon Prime, people tweeting at me, what channel's the game on? The game is not on any channel. It's on a streaming service. It's on Amazon Prime, the first one of the year. Maybe you didn't see that, but maybe you saw the Islanders knock off the Rangers last night. There was a lot of talk on the Fan. I dabbled in it last night, but there was a lot of talk on the Fan today. I saw they were trying to get under Boomer's skin, and then BT and Sauer going back and forth about it. BT said he's going to tap back into his Islanders stuff. Sal is an Islanders Rangers fan. Oh, wait, no. He's just a Rangers fan, but he goes to Islanders games and wears Islanders gear, but he's really a Rangers fan. And then Evan was leaning into it with Morash and, I don't know, Dave and Comac, my guy. Tell me something about the Islanders, where they're headed, and what you thought about that win two nights ago.
Oh, unbelievable. You mean one night ago?
What? Well, it's Thursday now.
What's that?
It's Thursday morning now.
Oh, it's after midnight. Oh.
So it was two nights ago. I was going to say, you're confusing me. I always trip myself up with that.
So in any event, I thought that was a beautiful thing. It's always a beautiful thing listening or watching the Rangers lose. And you know what's funny? Their fans make such an issue of what happened with Pelech last night. Zibanejad, he knew where he was going. There was no flagrant foul there.
Yeah, I watched the clip over and over, and I think we all have come to the conclusion. Not all of us, because even listening to some of the calls today, I don't know how people are split on it. In my opinion, it was a collision because neither one of the guys were aware of where they were on the ice. They collided with each other. I don't think it had anything to do with, you know, prior parts of the game or Zibanejad had it come in or whatever, but I think it was Peter Laviolette leaning into it after the game, really for his own team, setting the stage for the next matchup.
I think that you're going to see the Islanders play the Rangers in most likely in the second round. That's assuming the Islanders could beat Carolina, which I have my doubts about. Unless the Rangers finish second, which is a possibility because if Carolina wins and they're only 3 points out, then the Islanders will play the Rangers in the first round.
Yeah, that Saturday game at 12:30 in the Garden. Islanders-Rangers should be interesting. I don't expect it to be Mortal Kombat like we saw with the Devils.
I think you will see that.
Right away? You think right away?
I think you're going to see that right away because...
I'll be tuned in then.
What's that?
I'll be tuned in then because...
In response to...
I turned to the Devils-Rangers game late when I saw it trending on Twitter and everybody retweeting the video. I'm like, what is this?
It'll be in response to the Pelech incident, which was basically nothing except... I think that Zibanejad didn't know where he was going, and basically Pelech didn't.
Yeah, well, it depends if you're a Rangers fan or Islanders fan. I think you guys both see it differently, and that makes good for the next matchup. And we hope
sooner or later the Rangers will be dethroned either by Carolina or by the Islanders.
We'll see, Dave. Thanks for the call. Yeah. I love how fans call the Fan and make definitive statements about what's going to happen with the Islanders, the Rangers. Like, we don't watch the Stanley Cup playoffs every single year, and we're surprised by the outcome. Especially with the Rangers. Especially after last year. I wish I was here for the Devils coming back to beat the Rangers. I was on 2 years ago when Tampa, I thought Tampa was cooked. I remember watching Tampa lose to the Rangers, and I thought it was a foregone conclusion. There are no foregone conclusions. It's a 7-game series, and the Stanley Cup playoffs, the intensity and everything around it is different. It's a heightened level of play, and everything matters more, and the fans are on edge more, and things can swing. Even last year, I remember saying that the Devils were the best team, and pumping my chest out early on in the season last year when the Devils went on their, like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, maybe 13-game win streak. And people online are like, oh, the Bruins exist. The Boston Bruins are the best team. The Boston Bruins are the best team. Well, what happened to them? Didn't they win the President's Cup, the President's Trophy? And then the Florida Panthers came along, and we'll see. We'll see, man. Nobody knows. That's why we watch. That's why we talk about this stuff. That's why we gamble on this stuff. That's why we go and pay top dollar to the games. Like, it's coming up. You know, speaking of top dollar, The NFL draft is coming up, man. And I don't know how I feel about my own personal team, unfortunately. I'm more locked in on what's going to happen with the local teams. If you're listening to me and you don't know, I'm a measly Dallas Cowboys fan. And they're the richest franchise in the sport. Jerry Jones has figured out how to market every single thing with them, but has not figured out how to win, how to get past the second round, how to get back to a championship. They always find their way to, you know, get the right guys in the draft, though, right? Guys just fall into their lap. Micah Parsons, who I'm hearing Micah Parsons isn't having a good time in Dallas. Trayvon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb's another one I'm hearing not having a good time in Dallas. Might hold out. Nick is in Huntington, New York on the Fan. Go for it, Nick.
Keith, what's up? Just the one thing about the Rangers, 7-3 has to play every game against the Islanders as long as he wears a Rangers sweater. Rempe has to play every time. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He just has to.
He's setting up for it. Yeah, we're setting up for it.
As far as the Cowboys, dude, I love the fact you're a Cowboy fan. I've been calling the station forever. Jerry, you just said it. Why is he not spending any money, Keith? They do great in the draft, and most of their draft picks start, but they're not. You know, where's the Tony Casillas? Where's the Thomas Everett? Where's the Haley? Do something. Did Brendan Carr's contract scare him away that much? But like you said, they make the Yankees go out and get Soto. They're the equivalent of the Yankees of football. Go do something. I'm so upset with him, Keith, because of this. I trust Jerry. I like Jerry. I never doubt him. You know what? I'm really upset at him right now. He's not doing a thing. And you know what? Regimes go like this. The coach and the GM, they get fired together, they get hired together. We're never going to get rid of the GM because it's Jerry. And I'm just really disappointed in him. I'm so upset. And Dak, forget about Dak. We can't even go into the regular play of the game against Green Bay. But Jerry is not doing anything. I don't want to hear all in. I'm tired of it. We're winners. Enough. I gotta look at tapes of Evan Smith and Aikman and Irvin. I've had enough of it. Keith, please, we gotta do something. He's gotta sign.
It's a mess.
Why they let Derrick Henry walk? We don't have a running back. They couldn't sign Derrick Henry. He wanted to be a Cowboy.
No, they didn't even call him. They didn't even call him because he was too pricey for them. They couldn't even sign Zach Moss. Zach Moss signed for $4.25 million, and they didn't talk to him. They're talking to Ezekiel Elliott about coming back. They're talking to Dalvin Cook after Dalvin Cook, I'll say this, 12-5, 12-5, 12-5, they are winners. Dallas Cowboys fans have fun September, October, November, December. But ultimately, we know what's going to happen in January. It's not good enough. And this year, that was one of the most embarrassing ones of all time.
The worst.
Got their ass whooped.
It was the worst.
Right away. I can't believe the game was over right away.
Dude, I can't believe Dak. What is he? You know what? I trusted him so much this year because of the other playoff failures. He looked the same. He was a deer in headlights.
He was an MVP candidate.
He couldn't even throw a smile. It was so bad. They make me sick. But
they were undefeated at home. They got the soft landing spot. That's what I said on the Fan. No one told me that the youngest team in the playoffs wasn't a soft landing spot. No one told me that Jordan Love, a first-time quarterback in the playoffs, wasn't a soft landing spot for a team that was something like 15-0 in their building.
And their numbers at home were crazy on offense. Dak was a stud at home. I don't get it.
I blame
it makes no sense.
Dan Quinn. I blame the defense because that's how it started. Aaron Jones always kills them. That defense was not prepared.
And we get cut up since the Rams game in the playoffs. We get cut up on the ground. They need a nose tackle to stop
Mazi Smith. They drafted with their first pick last year thinking that he would be effective. He would be the answer. Marquise Bell, once Leighton Vander Esch went down, they had Marquise Bell, a safety-turned linebacker, playing middle linebacker. He was barbecue chicken. Everybody's watching film like, yo, just get a lineman on him, block him, and that hole's wide open. They're a mess. They had nothing up the middle. No running back and no linebacker. So
they have nothing up the middle, Keith. They've been getting gashed up the middle in the playoffs forever. They're not doing anything.
They're frauds,
and I blame Jerry.
They're frauds, and people get mad at me for calling them frauds. I'm a Dallas fan. If anybody knows, they're frauds. They're frauds.
I'm with you.
So when Jerry Jones said they were all in at the end of the season, I think he meant they're all in denial. They were all in denial. The big D stands for big denial, big disaster, big disappointment waiting to happen, and they don't know what to do. But check me out, Nick, before I let you go. Mike McCarthy's in his last year. They brought him back, right? Dak Prescott, they're not negotiating with him. They're going to let him play out this last year. He's going to be a free agent. The writing is on the wall. That just reminded me. I wanted to put some bets on the under. They're not going to win 12 games next year. I think the over-under set at 10 wins. Hammer the under. This is a mess. And what they're going to do is blow it up. There'll be a new quarterback. I don't know. They'll draft Deion Sanders' kid. There'll be a new head coach. I don't know. Maybe they'll go try and get Bill Belichick. This era of 12-5 with this team is a wrap.
I got you. You're the best, man. Let's go, Cowboys, no matter what, dude. But, Jerry, I blame him the most. You're the best. Thank you very much. And 7-3 needs to be in the lineup all the time against the Islanders. Thank you very much, Keith. Have a good night.
Yes, sir. How about them Cowboys? This is the second time in my life that I'm lying. There's plenty of times in my life I thought about ditching the Dallas Cowboys. What am I saying? It's been a long time since that Super Bowl I saw when I was 8 in the second grade in Miss Weldon's class. I picked the score closest to the actual score, and I won a big thing of Jelly Belly jelly beans. I was lit with my Troy Aikman jersey on in Ocean Township Elementary School. I was the man. I peaked right then and there. All my classmates that were Giants fans and Jets fans were jealous, but little did they know I would grow up to be on the Fan as a stupid Jerry Jones supporter. It's a hard knock life. It's not that fun. My son, he ain't no Dallas fan. My mom said, how come you don't put any Cowboys gear on him? I'm not putting that evil on him, Ricky Bobby. He can grow up and become what he wants to be. Nobody made me a Dallas Cowboys fan besides the TV, besides the television. I made a mistake. It's fun during the regular season. It sucks when you get to the postseason. That feeling of getting so amped up and hyped up for the playoffs and being one and done, it is defeating. I'm telling y'all, this year, I had my Aikman jersey on. I ordered my Mexican dinner from the Mexican spot around the corner from me. I took my jersey off. My mom said, why you take your jersey off? I said, I'm going out in public. I don't want to be seen like this. This is embarrassing. The Dallas Cowboys, man. I don't know. If my son wants to be a Jets fan, then we're about to be Jets fans. I got a whole thing planned. When he's 5... That's when I picked the Cowboys. Once I was 5 was when I was like, all right, yeah, I was old enough to know and pick my team. Once he's 5, we're going to have a whole tour. Take a look at the whole league, son. The Dirty Birds in Philadelphia are off limits. The Giants are on the table. Honestly, we're right here. The Giants games are on WFAN. If the boy wants to be a Giants fan, I'm not going to stand in his way. But, yeah, I have 2 times in recent history, 2019, when they couldn't beat the Eagles, I put every piece of Dallas Cowboys merch that I had in a pile, and I was about to do it. I was about to do it. I was about to light it on fire. And I did it. Because, like, what do I say? Stay down till you come up. You know, loyalty. You pick a team, stay with that team. But, man, after this season, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens next year. I'm a Cowboys fan. It is what it is. I got to rock with him. But, yeah, I think by the time my son picks a team, I'm out. Whatever team my son likes, that's who we're going to root for. And I don't care if he can pick the Houston Texans. If C.J. Stroud is the best quarterback in the league in 5 years and he wants to be a Texans fan, we're getting on the plane. We're going to Reliant Stadium, and we're going to go root on the Texans. If he wants to be a Jets fan, I know. Some of you are probably like, hey, caution. With the Jets history, who knows where the Jets are going to be in 5 years. Aaron Rodgers will be done. But if my son says, hey, I want to be a Jets fan, the stadium's 20 minutes from where we live, Dad. I like the jerseys. I like Sauce Gardner. I like Breece Hall. Then we're going to be Jets fans. Jarvis is a Jets fan up in Harlem before we go to break. What's up, Jarvis?
You know, just watching the NBA, you know, just watching the Minnesota Endeavor. They are big. Good for my team, so to try to get that number one seed.
Yes, sir. So, I just was putting on for him. It's out of the West. It's the Denver Nuggets until it's not.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. You know, so, you know, they are big, so that's good for my team. Yeah, I want to talk about the Jets and, you know, like the last caller about, you know, like the Cowboys, like would come to Jerry Jones and, you know, because they don't want to make coaching changes and, you know, that, you know, don't that last year they're losing to the wild card to the Green Bay Packers and, you know that Mike McCarthy's going to get one and done because the team, it's the same old Cowboys. You know, they keep saying, like, we're going to win the championship next year. Then you never get to the NFC championship. That have been there since 1996. It's the same old story. So, and the Jets, you know, they got so many question marks about, you know, can Aaron Rodgers playing 17 games coming out with Achilles? I don't know about that. You got so many free agents. Troy Smith can't stay healthy. Mike Williams can't stay healthy. I mean, and the coach, he's on a lot of pressure because the team haven't made the playoffs in like 13 years. And, you know, so.
Big draft coming up for the Jets. Now you're about to turn this show into a draft show, because when we come back, I'm about to hit y'all with some draft stuff because I'm over the Yankees game. We can still talk Knicks and Rangers Islanders, but now I want to talk football. Now you got me going, Jarvis.
All right. Yes.
Thanks for the call, bro. 877-337-6666. Yeah, this is a huge draft for the Jets. And, like, if you don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be in the war room, he might not actually be in the war room in Detroit. But they're going to have a plan to load up on offense around Aaron Rodgers because the defense is pretty much set. Yeah, you can add a couple more pieces there, but I think Joe Douglas had a really good offseason. I think he made a lot of moves that improved this team right away, and I think you can put the cherry on the top with this draft. If it's Brock Bowers at 10, so be it. I just don't – I'm not a guy that says draft a tight end 10 overall, and I keep going back to last year with, you know, Dalton Kincaid coming out of Utah and, you know, Dawson Knox already being there in Buffalo. And, yeah, they formed a little two-headed monster, so much so the Bills have moved on from Stephon Diggs because they're like, we got two tight ends. And we'll draft a receiver with our pick in the first round. And I saw a mock draft that has Keon Coleman from Florida State, who I've watched very closely. I used to be a big Florida State fan growing up. If they get Keon Coleman, the Bills, the Jets fans talking about, the AFC East is up for grabs. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. This is a deep draft for wide receivers. They might get a bunch of wide receivers in this draft. They might get three guys that are ready to help Josh Allen, and it's the Josh Allen show. 877-337-6666. Who will the Jets draft? Who will the Giants draft? J.J. McCarthy? Nah. No. And I think there's a lot of smoke screens going up. Drake May and who's going to fall and Malik Nabers. If Malik Nabers is there, that's the obvious pick. You draft Malik Nabers. We'll see. Who knows? Now we're talking football on the Fan. Obviously, we're still talking about the New York Yankees loss, but whatever. They won the series and yeah, of course, people are still talking Islanders-Rangers after what happened two nights ago, and who knows what's going to happen Saturday. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talk about it on the Fan.
She is gone. It's a grand slam. Swung on, hit in the air to right field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. His third home run of the game. A Judgian blast to right field.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
I don't. Waiting on some beautiful boy to save you from got me all wrong, brother. Not me. Keith McPherson on the Fan, checking back in. I'm talking to people on Twitter at Keith_McPherson. My boy Dre said, so Marvin Harrison Jr. isn't the clear-cut wide receiver one come draft day? Hey, don't get me confused. So before the break, we were talking about the NFL draft, and I said, if Malik Nabers is there, you take him. Marvin Harrison Jr. should not be there when the Giants are drafting, because if the Cardinals don't take him, the Chargers absolutely are. Both of those teams need a wide receiver ASAP. Both of those teams need they need to get a wide receiver one. When you think about who the Cardinals are rocking with, they're rocking with Michael Wilson. When you think about the Chargers, they moved on from Keenan Allen and Michael Williams. They need, both of those teams need a Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. knows he is potentially the best player in the draft. Like, Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't even show up to the combine. Have you seen his pro day? He's got the bloodline. He doesn't have to do that. Like, he doesn't have to do anything. So, not for nothing, man. Marvin Harrison Jr. right now is projected to go to the Cardinals at 4. There were some smoke screens, some rumblings about the Cardinals trading that pick if somebody wanted to come up and get the, you know, next available quarterback at four. But I think they'd be fools to do that because they need Marvin Harrison Jr. Looking at Tankathon, Tankathon has Malik Nabers going number five to Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers because obviously they need a number one with Justin Herbert. Quentin Johnson's not the guy. And then Tankathon has number six, J.J. McCarthy, going to the Giants. It doesn't make sense to me. And I understand we all were saying, you know, not all of us, but a lot of us were saying during the season, tank, lose the games. This is a quarterback-heavy draft. But none of us were saying tank to get J.J. McCarthy. And when you look at the three teams up there, like, it's almost a foregone conclusion that all three of those teams are taking a quarterback. We were saying that the Giants should tank and lose so that they would be a top three pick. You don't want to be picking at number six. I just feel like J.J. McCarthy is the same vibe as Daniel Jones at number six. Taking a guy that is like, oh yeah, you know, we're hoping he can become more than he actually is, and we're projecting that he, no. Can't sell me on J.J. McCarthy at six. I think he is this year's Will Levis. I think he's a guy that Jim Harbaugh has obviously stamped, and that's smoke and mirrors too, because Jim Harbaugh is like, yeah, sure, yeah, take J.J. McCarthy. Don't take any of these receivers or guys that I might need. Joe Alt is a very interesting pick to me. They have him going to the Titans, which makes a lot of sense. But like, if he falls, or even if he doesn't get, like, not for nothing, if I'm the Giants, I would take Joe Alt too. But we know they're going to try and run it back with Evan Neal, or at least we think. We don't know anything. Another guy that intrigues me is Rome Odunze out of Washington. I don't think he's better than Malik Nabers. I think Malik Nabers is just a freak of nature. I think he's just he's one of those guys that if he's there, you get that guy. But Odunze is a good wide receiver prospect. He is a guy that, like, just go watch his highlight. Just type in Rome Odunze highlight. When you watch him and Michael Penix Jr. and what they were able to do this year, he gets open, he gets separation, he's downfield, he's catching the ball, he's got short hands, he works hard. If he drops to 10, you take him if you're the Jets. Fleegs. We have Fleegs in here now after 12, and I know Fleegs is a big Jets fan. Obviously, you expect them to go offense at number 10, but I think obviously there's three ways they could go depending on how it shakes out. I already mentioned Brock Bowers at tight end. But if Rome Odunze is there at wide receiver, the third rank wide receiver, they could do that. Or they could go with the next tackle off the board, assuming Joe Alt is gone. And then that gives you insurance for Tyron Smith. What are you thinking as a Jets fan you want them to do out of those three options? Or do you have a complete different theory, that like a different player, someone that you're targeting?
I think they're aiming high. You're right. Listen, it's offense. We all know it's offense. Whether they stay at 10 or make a trade, this is an offensive pick, and it has to be for the way they're loading
up. Aaron Rodgers would flip out if they decided to go.
I just think it does, like it fits what this team needs. Like sure.
The defense
is set.
Like,
it's almost like doing what Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, should have done for years. Like, hey, throw the guy a bone, give him that extra offensive player because you're trying to win a Super Bowl. So yeah. It just aligns that the right thing is probably what he wants. I think they're aiming high. I think the Jets are even one of those teams that could surprise people and trade up for a receiver. Like, say, teams are dumb enough to let Marvin Harrison Jr. slip into the, you know, five range after a bunch of quarterbacks go off the board.
That'd be sick.
I think they could be interested in that.
Ohio State reunion with Garrett Wilson.
If the Jets got Marvin Harrison, I don't know if you'd see me here drafting. I'm supposed to be here, but I might be too busy celebrating and miss the start of this shift. The name you said, though, is Odunze. If somehow one of those top three receivers slips to them, I think the Jets will be too tempted and not be able to pass them up. As much as the smartest pick is probably just tackle, because you have two 33-year-olds playing tackle, so get a guy who can plug and play. You expect at least Tyron Smith to miss a couple of games. It's probably the smartest pick, but just if they can get one of these wide receivers, if they fall to them at 10 especially, they don't have to make a trade. It is so tantalizing to the point where, you know, if a team called with a fair offer for the 10th pick and trading back, I don't know if they take it. They might if the top tackle's on the board. I think as much as they might love Bowers, they would trade out of that pick if the right offer came along. If Rome Odunze is there, I don't think there's any other choice the Jets are making.
How do you feel? I'm going to ask you something else, too. How do you feel about Tyler Conklin, Jeremy Rucker, like your tight end situation right now? Because taking Brock Bowers isn't to fill a need. It's to be, I think, taking the best tight end available and taking like a guy that's considered one of the best players in the draft.
Yeah, I like that tight end room a lot. I've been a big Conklin fan. He's been kind of underrated. And I loved Rucker going back to his days at Ohio State. This was a tight end who didn't put up those crazy college numbers because he was in an offense with Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jackson Smith and Jigba. They had Trevion Henderson. They had the talent at running back. Obviously, C.J. Stroud. So he was blocking a lot and not running routes just because the offense was so good, they didn't really need him. So I think he's an underrated player that has a very bright future. But Brock Bowers is the kind of guy where you say, all right, you know, forget our plans. This kid is one of those guys who can, one, you talk about being a future Hall of Famer one day and have that kind of instant impact. I look at what Sam LaPorta did for the Lions last year. Yeah. Now, he's not going to be a Travis Kelce, George Kittle type right away. The future is there for that. But if you can get the impact of somebody like LaPorta had last year for the Lions and Goff with also having Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams and Breece Hall in the fold. Plus, you have Conklin and Ruckert there when you use two, three tight end sets even. Bowers would be another pick that, again, if the receivers aren't there and they don't go tackle, if you're a Jets fan, I would not be upset at all if they draft Brock Bowers. He's that kind of talent.
And it's different this year because I use the Brock, not Brock Bowers, I use the Sam LaPorta conversation almost to say that, you know, the Bills drafted the wrong guy. But I really, it's really just fit in your system and identifying, which not to say Dalton Kincaid isn't a good tight end. It's just Sam LaPorta was like, they plugged him in. There was no other guy. He was the guy. They moved on from the guy that they sent to the Vikings.
Hockenson.
Yes, TJ Hockenson. So when I look at the draft for the Jets, it's definitely offense, and you want to give someone to either protect Aaron Rodgers or give Aaron Rodgers a weapon. And I think with the addition of Mike Williams, you can also have some Mike Williams insurance, too, with a wide receiver, a Tyron Smith insurance with a tackle, or just get greedy and say, we're taking Brock Bowers, who is supposed to be a generational tight end, and we know what this guy does with the ball in his hands, like in this offense. We're taking the best offensive playmaker that's not a running back, receiver, quarterback. Like, we're taking the best tight end off the board at 10. I don't know. Jets fans, call us up. 877-337-6666. Fleegs, if you don't mind me asking, are you good now? I know you were sick or you were out for a couple days.
I'm better now. I'm good enough to be here. So okay. I'm sure, listen, you hear me. I'm definitely not 100%. My voice is the most I've spoken in a few days, and I can tell it's off, it's nasally.
Bro,
but
I
feel good enough to be here and off the couch.
I was messed up coming out of Tampa, coming back to work. Paulie's been out.
Yeah, I was told. I was told Pat Boyle's sick too.
Pat
Obviously,
PB.
I know Rosenberg is sick. So it's something's been going around.
I was talking to Marco.
C-Mac is working from home tonight. He has it as well. He had the fever earlier today. So
okay,
it's
we all
both
get
sides
sick
of the glass
in here. I actually got sick in Tampa, but like this is an incubator for if somebody comes in here with even a little bit of a virus, a cold, it ends up wiping out like 3-4 guys.
I mean, the way these rooms are set up, the control room is like, 6x8 at most. The studio is not a lot bigger.
We all touch all the same buttons and microphones
and
door handles.
Right, we work in two and three rooms.
Yeah. Anyway.
Poor Marco's stuck in a closet. So if any of the anchors have it, they all get it for a week.
Yeah, their room is the smallest room out of all of them. Anyway, Giants fans, we'll talk a little bit about your draft. And I'm going to get to the phone. Tim, you're coming up. But now I'm on this football kick.
You were talking about him. If J.J. McCarthy has got to be the most put, because the Jets, I think fans will maybe have disagreements, but they're getting an offensive player that'll
they're gonna
help.
They're going to
be happy.
Even
Giants
with an offensive
fans,
tackle.
Right. It's rare, but Jets fans will be thrilled with the tackle. If the Giants make a move or stay at six, whatever, and the pick is McCarthy, he's got to be the most polarizing possible New York pick this year, right?
Of course, because it's like, okay, you're going into a season where I've been on record saying I don't believe Daniel Jones is going to be healthy for training camp. Drew Lock, when they first signed him, Drew Lock, the word was, oh, Drew Lock chose the Giants because he was told he'll have a chance to compete for the starting spot. Then when that hit the New York media, it was, oh, no, this is Daniel Jones's team. You know, I'm here to push Daniel Jones. And yeah, all right. If J.J. McCarthy is the pick, man, he becomes Brian Daboll's guy, Joe Shane's guy. He has to work out. And if he doesn't work out, then that's your one shot as a GM, head coach, and it's a wrap. And I just think it's too big of a risk. And I think that you're not ready to win right now. I don't think you're ready to win right now. So why take the quarterback at six? Take another player at six or trade the pick at six. If it's not a surefire, if it's not Caleb Williams, if it's not the Heisman Trophy winner and Jaden Daniels or Drake May, who people have been talking about projects as the guy for years, and now, of course, weeks before the draft, they're starting to sour on him. J.J. McCarthy was never the guy. He wasn't even the guy at Michigan for a little while. Who did he split time with? This all happened off of this season, this championship season. I look at J.J. McCarthy as like, no, dude, like he is not a surefire NFL quarterback. He's a project. And to use that number six overall pick again, right? Your number two overall pick you used on Saquon Barkley. That door is closed. That chapter is closed. I remember draft night being at the Ainsworth, and I was sure that the Giants were going to take Josh Allen, not Buffalo Bills Josh Allen, Jaguars Josh Allen, because they were talking about him coming out of Kentucky as an edge rusher being a potential gold jacket guy. I'm like, that you can't miss with that. And they take Daniel Jones, and now look where we are with Daniel Jones. Yeah, he had one good season under Dable, got the contract, but I don't know. I look at J.J. McCarthy as too risky of a pick at six. McNamara, yes. See, good to have a producer that can look up stuff. So, like, if you were splitting, and I know, some people say, oh, well, Tom Brady split time with Drew Henson. Yeah, but even Tom Brady was a project. Tom Brady didn't become for years. Tom Brady honestly lucked into being around the right head coach, defense, other players on offense. The Giants are in a spot right now. They have to be somewhat competent next year. They don't have to be a playoff team. They don't have to win, but they got to show you that they are rebuilding and that something is coming. And I just look at them as they're a team in a spot where you don't need to draft a quarterback at six. Get a playmaker at six. You haven't had a number one wide receiver. It wasn't that long ago that Kenny Golladay was over here and you're thinking he's going to be the number one wide receiver. You can't go into next year and sell me on Wandale Robinson and Jalen Hyatt. You can't go into next year and have Darius Slayton be your best receiver again. Darren Waller. What's Darren Waller going to do? Darren Waller was supposed to come in here and be Daniel Jones' number one target. This guy wants to rap. He's 1 foot out the door. He's still mulling his retirement. And I think they're making moves, the Giants, to bring. They've brought in Jack Stoll. They brought in another tight end I'm blanking on. They're making moves preparing for him not to be available. They should anyway because he's hurt every year. So what I'm saying is, why not, no matter who's playing quarterback, whether it's Daniel Jones, whether it's Drew Lock, whether it's Tommy DeVito, whether it's J.J. McCarthy, well, it can't be J.J. McCarthy, go get Malik Nabers or go get Romo Dunze, whatever it is, at six, draft a top wide receiver that's a game breaker that you know literally can be there for the next few years as you figure out the quarterback position, as you probably opt out of Daniel Jones' contract, as who knows, if you lose enough games next year, you could be in a spot where you're drafting a quarterback. Or it's either get a playmaker, and if you don't want a playmaker, I would draft another offensive lineman, but they're probably not going to do that. Trade the pick. Trade back. And see how everybody grabs quarterbacks, receivers, tackles, cornerbacks, and see what you can do there. We're going to find out soon. The draft is in 2 weeks. All right, back to what we were talking about before. Rangers, Islanders, the beef that started that night and is brewing and going to pop up again on Saturday and maybe again in the postseason. Tim is in Williston Park on the Fan. Go for it, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Keith. First of all, unexpected Ricky Bobby reference, which was hilarious.
I use that one all the time. Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
I know you do. You're going to be you are going to be a fantastic father with that mentality about just pick your team, dude.
Yeah, my dad wasn't around. My mom didn't force me. I literally picked my teams off TV, and like I already just don't want to be. I don't want to make my son do anything. I want to guide my son. I want to help my son. So if my son watches his first football season at five, and he's like, "Man, the Tennessee Titans or something, Dad, let's go down to Nissan Stadium and see what Will Levis and those guys look like." I say, "All right, come on, let's see if you really want to do this."
Yeah, let's go to Detroit.
By then, who knows what Dan Campbell and those guys will be.
Yeah, they might be like the hot team anyway.
Yeah, they could be. But, have a different quarterback.
So, yeah, I called about the Rangers Islanders thing, and I'll make it quick, but I'm going to pivot to the draft because, I, quite frankly, like after the conversation I've heard for the last like 30 minutes, I'm kind of excited about talking about it. But real quick, like the Pelic and Hit, that was not a problem. The problem that, I don't know if you watched the game, but at the end of the game, there was a hit by Dobson of the Islanders. And I'm not a Ranger or Islander fan. But the hit at the end of the game, I think it was on Trocheck, it was like a boarding hit. And, I mean, that's a really dangerous situation. And there was a lot of conversation between the Rangers player and the officials, like, how did you not call something on that? Because that's dangerous. So I think that's going to be the impetus behind any type of situation that happens on Saturday. And a situation will probably happen on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I was at the Yankee game. And when I came in from the Yankee game, I looked over some stuff and I took some calls more so on the Pelic hit. But right, I did hear them today talking about the controversy over the no call with the Vincent Trocheck. But I don't know.
Yeah,
I think
just
so
really
much was
deep.
Made of it after the game. It has now snowballed into a thing that Saturday it's gonna rear its ugly head again. And if they want to drop gloves right away, then
yeah, I don't blame Peter Laviolette for supporting his team at all. But he did elevate it I played hockey for a long time. That's just two guys not paying attention to what they're supposed to be doing. That's a bigger issue. But as it relates to football, real quick, I think Brock Bowers is the way to go for the Jets, 100%, just because, you know, I'm looking at Super Bowl and NFC and AFC, like, contenders. And it seems like everybody's got that dominant force. And to Fleegs' earlier point, they have a good tight end room. I just think, you know, between Kittle and Gronkowski and obviously Travis Kelce, I mean, these guys have become impact players that made their quarterbacks better and vice versa. So I don't want to take away from
Yeah, and also, you know, Conklin's got one more year where Brock Bowers could be your tight end of the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could learn a ton as Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback and really become someone that's an impact player for 10, 12 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it. And like I said, that guy with the ball in his hands, he's something else. He makes plays, and that just adds another playmaker that you can run that offense through. And with Aaron Rodgers, he's going to get that guy the ball.
Unless Neighbors falls to 10, to your earlier point, then I would probably take Neighbors.
Yeah, I don't think Neighbors will be there at 10. I think Rome Odunze could be there at 10, and I think it's going to be hard to say, okay, we need a tight end over a receiver. I think a receiver would be more appealing there than a tight end.
Yeah, you're probably right. Real quick question, though, back onto hockey real quick. I know you kind of adopted the Devils as your team. I remember a couple of years ago, I think you did that, like 2 years ago. I had such high hope, and I'm a Bruins fan, so just total.
It's okay.
But I really had high hopes for the Devils this year, and I don't really know what
happened. We all did. Jack got hurt. There was obviously the sex scandal that happened with the team in Canada. Well, three players, I believe, on the team that, you know, their season ended because they came under fire, under trial. There were periods of time where they just didn't have any fight. The goalie situation was a mess all year. Fans were chanting fire Lindy all season. I feel like, you know, by the time that happened, it was too little too late, and it just did not go as scripted for the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, I hope they rebuild because they've got a lot of young talent that can be a really good team.
I think they
for
can
really
just reload. They didn't have Dougie Hamilton this year. Jesper Bratt did his thing. I think we expected more out of Timo Meier. I think they can just reload, retool. It's not even a rebuild. I think they could just retool a little bit and be right there and be ready to go next season.
Yeah, that's a great way to express it because it's not a rebuild because they have talent. They have a ton of talent. I really thought coming into this year that they were going to be the best of the three teams in the tri-state area.
Yeah,
I really
I read a Bleacher Report Open Ice article that had the Devils as the number two team in hockey. I was like, okay, here we go. This is supposed to be the year for real. That's why I said people make so many definitive statements about hockey, and it never goes how everybody says it's definitely going to go.
Well, that's why for all of my friends and family that are Rangers fans, I say, please, whatever you do, do not win the President's Cup.
It's like because a bad omen.
I'm a Bruins fan.
Yeah.
And
that's going to sting.
I saw it in real life last year.
Thanks for the call, Tim. Yeah, Boston is still reeling from that first round exit last year. 877-337-6666. It's wide open for my last hour. We're talking about the NFL draft. What should the Jets do? What should the Giants do? Jets fans, Giants fans, call us up and weigh in. We're still talking about that Islanders-Rangers beef. And now we got from the Pelech hit to the Trocheck hit and what's going to happen Saturday. Still taking calls on the Yankees, but I think the Yankee fans have gone to sleep and realized, hey, we're in first place, 10-3, haven't lost a series, no big deal. I do want to talk about the Mets when we come back in this matchup coming with the Braves and the Knicks, too, as the Bucks beat the Orlando Magic and the seeding is going to shake out over the course of the next 3-4 days. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.